Hi everyone, this is Special K, Kevin Lodge for the Black Flag Cast, and I am sitting this evening with Anthony and Tiffany of At Productions, the creators of the recent documentary In the Name of the Moon. Guys, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah, excellent.
Marvelous. Would you like to tell my audience maybe a little bit about yourselves and your group and your organization At Productions?
Sure.
At Productions is a group that makes videos based on nerd and geek culture. We started out making AMVs, actually. I was in school and Anthony had graduated, and I was interested in learning more about editing and trying out some new techniques and starting to learn After Effects, and I thought AMVs would be a great way to kind of have footage and not have to worry about shooting things, but also be able to edit and really, again, hone and practice skills that I was learning. So I kind of started that, and then I ended up wanting Anthony to help me out because he's really great at doing motion graphics and editing, and he joined in, and I just happened to pick the name At Productions because it was Anthony and Tiffany.
Very good. Well, let's talk about one of your latest projects, one that has made at least some local news recently, which is In the Name of the Moon. Would you like to tell everybody a little bit about this documentary?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, In the Name of the Moon is a documentary about friends, nine friends who went to school together and cosplayed this from their kind of childhood show, just that show that, you know, that was really special to them, and that show was Sailor Moon. And they cosplayed as the full, cast of Sailor Senshi. And through that show, we kind of, explore, concepts of growing up. You know, what does it mean to, do cosplay, in your 20s and have a full-time job? And, what does that mean, to these nine women? We also explore some other concepts. Tiffany, you want to talk about that a little bit?
I was interested in kind of like the intellectual aspects of con culture and cosplay. As like, I've been cosplaying for quite a while, since 2003. So I kind of I had that background, and I became familiar with Charles Dunbar by way of just attending one of his panels by happenstance. And, he's really informational, very relatable, because I had a friend with me at the time who wasn't even interested really in anime. I talked her into going to Katsukon, and she even enjoyed his panel and got something out of it. So, I knew I definitely wanted to include somebody like that in the documentary. And he had just some really great insights and information about, cons as pilgrimage and, cosplay culture, convention culture, kind of things like that. We also hit a little bit on feminism. I think it's pretty, it's pretty inherent to, I think, the group of girls, and I think their shared experience by going to Bryn Mawr Women's College. And it's when they explained the whole thing to me, their college experience, I feel like I was kind of missing out on something. It seemed really exciting and fun. But feminism in Sailor Moon, the anime, feminism in kind of the ideals behind this particular cosplay group.
Yeah, and I mean, it's coming from kind of the opposite perspective, where Tiffany likes to take, the kind of intellectual approach, and I take the more sentimental, emotional approach, and just the notion of girl power, and you can kind of see them just, really confident in this, in this, outfit. And for me, that was something that I really, really wanted to hit upon, while I was in the editing process, was that, these women, they stand, they stand for the kind of the values of, Sailor Moon, truth and justice. And I don't know, it just seemed like a good topic, a good thing to talk about throughout the documentary, was that woman empowerment. Because the thing about Sailor Moon is that there were female characters, and this was one of the first shows where, women were the main, the main cast. And I think that was kind of, revolutionary, specifically at that time point.
And I mean, especially considering, you know, it is now coming out in the 20th, on the 20th year of the franchise, effectively. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it was just, did you guys plan it that way, or did it just seem to be that just the powers that be intervened to make it so?
I think it was a little bit of both. We initially got the idea for In the Name of the Moon based on Tokyo Pop's Facebook page when they posted a picture of the La Soldier group. And, you know, at that point, I immediately contacted them. This is 2012. I'm not sure. I can't remember which came first, actually. Whether I contacted them or the announcement of the Sailor Moon reboot. But nevertheless, I contacted them to ask them to do this short piece, you know, this 5-minute video, 5-10-minute video, which, you know, is kind of the format that we had done up until that point. And once and at that point, the idea was to kind of time it with the release. But as the release got pushed, you know, we also pushed the documentary and the scope grew. So, yeah, it wasn't always planned to be part of the, you know, release of, you know, the Sailor Moon reboot. Yeah. I mean, we kind of planned it that way. I mean, I figured that would, you know, be extremely timely. And I feel like in this video field, that being timely is really one of the more, like, important things in producing something that's really tied to a series or tied to a release.
And it seemed there's a variety of themes that kind of do pop up regularly in it, but also in the not only in the theme, but also I would say in the way of the cinematography, the kind of showing the various cities and, you know, towns where they all lived, you know, where they had found themselves when they were getting ready to do this last run together at this KatsuCon, which I believe was 2012, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was 2013, the last one, 2013, right? No, 2012.
I think it might have been 2012.
Really?
Think we've been working
no,
on
this. No, I think it was 2013.
Okay. We've been working on it for a really long time, so get those dates confused.
Indeed. But, I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing, you know, where it's like almost as if, you know, they're all spread to the four winds, and yet they all converge together at this one place at this one particular time. What would you say to that? Like, you know, that, you know, would you say that that's also kind of like a bit of symbolism for the kind of bond that they all had? You know, they were different, you know, they were all kind of separated, but through La Soldier, they all came together.
I mean, that's really their story. That's definitely inherently them and their experience, because it started out with just the three girls. Elena,
Crystal,
and Aaron,
yeah.
Who were friends and enjoyed watching the anime together and came up with the idea of, oh, we should cosplay, it'd be funny, or it'd be great, or it'd be a good thing to do. And then they started making it a reality. And in making it a reality, they had to pull in other people who were less familiar with the anime, who they were less familiar with, period, and kind of by word of mouth, they cobbled this group together and grew to know and really be good friends with one another. I know definitely it's Tina and Kate?
Tina and Kate, they live in the same city. I mean, New York is a large city, to say at least. But, you know, they live in the same city, but you know, they never really talked all that much. And, you know, and through that group, you know, they kind of just, you know, grew a mutual respect for one another. And I mean, I think that's really like the human condition, in the sense that, you know, we all get together for a thing, right? You know, we're all high school students. They were all college friends together. And, you know, you graduate, you move away, and, you know, you kind of lose touch. But it's always such a magical experience when you get to kind of relive some of those things that you did, you know, in the past, you know, in the present. So.